Episode 364, June 4th, 2018.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
It's good to finally be back on the show. I feel like I haven't been around much, Joe.
What, you missed one episode?
Well, it feels like I missed more, right?
Well, no, you missed one, and then the next one was Memorial Day.
Okay.
And then because I'm going to be on vacation, we're recording this one a couple days early. It's not like it's a week early. This is about the events that we would have been discussing on Monday.
Exactly. Yeah. But a lot has happened since. Of course, you did the show with your fiance, Katie. That was the big... That was huge.
Yeah, well, of course, we already talked about the engagement on the show when she was on with me.
Yes, but I took notes on the episode, by the way, like Robbie would have.
Then I want to hear that. But I also want to say, now, Rob knows this, but I guess I should tell the audience that, you know, Rob's my best man.
What? I am?
I thought I told you.
Official?
Yeah. So,
how?
Well,
fantastic.
I have two sons. You know, I have a brother. I'm not sure, you know, you can't really just pick one because the other two, so you got to eliminate them all.
Okay, so you're one by default is what you're saying.
No. Well, I mean, I'm not going to choose you over my sons, but
of course not.
We're only doing one, so, you know, that's the way we work.
I feel Rob is a consolation because Tim wasn't available.
So who was my main competition of non-family members?
Well, it's weird you say that because it was down to two, and I'm currently not speaking to the other one. By the way, that's never happened to me in my entire life, 50 years. I've never had an argument with a friend that resulted in us just not talking to each other.
Yeah, we haven't spoken about that.
Well, I mean, I'm just mentioning it now because it was discussed. You know, that's... Stop. I'm not making any argument about what happened, but yeah, him and I currently we're not speaking.
I will say this. Since you and former show announcer Tim... have stopped speaking, the number of texts that I receive a day is down about 1,000%.
Well, it's funny because
fuck you.
When I send out the text, I don't include Tim anymore because I'm not happy with him right now.
Right.
And so I only send it to you guys, and I'm always like, I wonder if I'm being left out of another text chain, which, you know, I mean, that I'm not included.
There's
in.
Some that are going back and forth.
Yeah.
But they're not that intense. Tim actually gave me credit on a tweet and got the joke, which just shows how dumb Twitter is.
Right.
That if Tim Moran can get the joke, that they can't.
He doesn't like you saying his last name,
sorry,
by the way.
Last week after the, who knows when you're hearing this, but when the Caps won Game 7 against the Lightning.
Right.
It's a Wednesday night. It's also the same night the Americans is on, and it's wrapping up. It's now over, but the final season's episodes have been airing. And I said, so then the next day I said, last night I watched the Caps game and then the Americans, so basically 4 hours of rooting for Russians.
Okay.
And nobody got it because they don't understand. They have no idea that I guess Alex Ovechkin is Russian or that hockey players are Russian or that the Americans is about Russian spies.
I totally got that.
Yeah, no, I know you get it. You watch The Americans, and you're, you know. But again, it's a tweet that has, you have to get two things, and that's too complicated.
Well, without discussing numbers, I had, other than my engagement, that doesn't count. I had my most successful tweet ever
because it was a picture.
It's not even close. So, yeah. the tweet was that I was driving to get my coffee, and there were Oreo donuts that they were. That they were selling, right? Orange, and they have a baseball.
They're
on
promoting
them
on a banner.
Right. But the banner is on a dumpster. Now, by the way, the Orioles are the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
They had the worst record when I typed this, and they've lost every game since then.
And the most disappointing team, too.
They're horrible. So, of course, the advertisement for these donuts is on a dumpster. So, of course, I said, hey, they're advertising new Oriole-themed donuts. They're advertising them on their dumpster. Oh, but why isn't it on fire?
Blowing
16
up.
Retweets.
There
you
go. That's huge.
That's like Dan Charnley level.
Exactly.
I mean, that's crazy.
One guy commented, you're awfully salty today. And I was like, what are you talking about? Of all the... I know you when you're being salty.
Yes.
You just... They keep a track of the record. I mean, they are the worst team. It's like...
Yeah, they're a dumpster fire.
Accurate.
That's,
right.
Yeah, that's
being
the point.
Salty at all.
By the way, if you approach the Dunkin' Donuts this time of year, and we're like, hey, we'd like to do an Oriole-themed donut. I'm like, no, thanks. Why would I want to do that?
No.
That's like, I don't want that donut. Like, even if you have an... Look, my teams are my teams. I root for them. I still check the Orioles score to see what the hell happened to them and how bad they lost or whatever. But I'm not... When I have an Oriole shirt on, an Oriole hat on, you know, I'm like, well, I realize that the worst team in the league, I'm wearing a hat or
right.
a shirt. Yeah.
So, it's good to be back on the show. I wanted to say my... congratulations to you too,
Thanks, man.
Really, congrats to that you pulled this off, Joe. Because I have told several people about it, and everyone is amazed at the detail, the originality. No one's ever heard of that. I know Mara Reinstein thought the same thing. The guest last week, just bravo, you did it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Can I say one thing? I'm not exactly sure I pulled it off.
You think she's...
I'm not saying she keeps going, I swear. No, I believe her, but I also think she would lie to make me feel better. She loves me. So,
Okay. She didn't know that there was a video about to play with the pictures montage and her entire friends and family behind her.
Okay.
Right? I mean, she couldn't
have
known.
Yes, you're right.
That.
There's a lot of it that she didn't know. But we're pulling into the Marley Station Mall.
Mm-hmm.
I say I have a surprise. We're at the Marley Station Mall. They're playing. They're having a special showing of a movie. Nobody's in the theater. She asked very few questions, which leads me to believe
she didn't want to.
Maybe
find out.
It was a Wednesday night. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of strange things that were going on for her to have no questions. She's also really smart, so because of that, it leads me to believe she would have had a couple questions.
Yeah.
So, by the way, it doesn't bother me if she knew. Clearly, she didn't know all the people were going to be there. She didn't know. Although Sean Gabbert might have blown it because he sent out an email. He sent out a text that said, what time are we getting to the theater? Now, by the way, nobody responded, which made it completely obvious that
right. There
was something weird about it.
We were all terrified
to
say something.
Somebody should have made it. It didn't matter. I mean, so I don't think there's 100% chance she knew, but it ain't zero. So if I were to bet my life, mm-hmm. I would bet she had suspicions.
Okay, but unless you propose to some girl you just met, I mean, they always have suspicions.
Or an idiot.
When
yeah.
you're at this point.
Yeah.
But you pulled it off, and then afterwards, shout out to Katie's parents for treating us to that awesome time. And I have to give Gramps, some more Gramps love, or Gramps hate, depending. We're at the restaurant where they have this little private room, and literally three times he gets up. Out of his seat where he's got his food and drink in front of him, and it's very tight quarters. It's not easy to walk around.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't just move
around. So he's making an effort to get up for no reason. He's not going to the bathroom. He's literally getting up, walking over to where I am, and taking a shot at me.
Do you remember the shot?
Yes, he says the first one. He goes, hey, they'll let anybody in here, won't they?
Good one, okay. The old standby.
Right. Then he comes by. And he sees that I'm talking to Erica and her friend, Dave's girlfriend.
Kristen.
He goes, is this guy bothering you, ladies?
Okay, funny. Another one. Better than the first.
Right. And then he stares at them and goes, I'm just over here to stare at you two.
Okay.
Creepy.
He just threw that in.
Right.
Yeah. Did he tell any of them that they look? Never. I don't want to give away something on the bonus show.
And then I forget exactly the third one, but it was something similar to the first one. Like,
who's this asshole?
Yeah, surprised you were invited or something to that. And then he put his arm around, like, pat my shoulder, gave him a massage. But he made. Oh, and then he says to Phil, your former roommate, who has put on a few pounds. He goes, I didn't recognize you put on a lot of weight.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Well, I know Phil. He probably thought that was hilarious, but,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know who else thought it was hilarious? Mac Bergson. Because, as you know, the very next day I left for Tampa, and that Thursday night, you got engaged on Wednesday. I saw, you know, it was a big week for both of us. You got engaged, and I met Mac Bergson. So it's we both had huge life-changing moments.
Real quick, it was funny. You said, hey, make this video for Mac Bergson. It's me, my dad, and my brother. So I'm like, hey, Mac, you know, I'm excited, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what I said something, then I go, and my dad's standing there like it's a photograph.
Yes.
And I'm like, fuck this. I left. I mean, Robbie's saying nothing. My dad's saying nothing. I talk. Their turn, nothing. I hope it represented my frustration at these two's inability. It's a lot like, and my dad I get, Robbie I don't. You know, like, we'll be on the show, but like, and I'll ask Robbie one question. Literally, you'd think that I just asked him the meaning of life. We literally walked into an alcove specifically to make a video, and I was the one talking, so just think of something in your head to say.
Yeah,
excited about next year's Pinewood Derby. Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you need to say, but nothing. I get nothing, and I can't do it. I had to leave.
I showed the video to Mac, but I did preface it. I said, it's very Rob and Joe, and that it wasn't planned out. There's some technical issues, and it's definitely not a work of art, and he greatly appreciated it. But it was really cool. I went down to Tampa at the Improv down there, and Thursday night I was headlining, and then David Koechner came in for the rest of the weekend. And it's
were there people there Thursday? Crowded?
It was like 75 people. It wasn't too bad. It's in this area. It's kind of like a little New Orleans kind of a vibe. All these bars, and you can't take alcohol or on the street, but it's definitely a party district. Very, very supportive of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the team the Caps were playing. And I was down there for two games in which the Lightning won, so I had to experience all their going crazy as I'm rooting for the Caps. I actually watched game five or no four with Mac and try to convince them that it was okay after we lost, and I didn't really believe it, but it turns out I was right.
Were you in Kansas City when the Caps won the Eastern Conference Championship?
No, I got home.
You were home, okay.
No, I got home Monday. That was, I left Thursday. I left the next day. So Mac is there. He's by himself, because that's how cool he is, and he came to my show Thursday night. He was the first one there. Sort of like a Gramps coming to a murder mission.
Hold on. Did he come with no one?
He's by himself.
Okay.
Yes. You know, he doesn't live, you know, exactly near there. So it's not like his friends and family are there. So at first they sat him right up front. And he goes, now, can I move back a little bit? And I said, good. Because you hate having someone in the front row.
Yeah, what are you going to do? What's your name? What do you mean? You know me. I'm
right. You start doing inside jokes, and it's just weird. So he was still close because, you know, it's not that lot of people there. But I you know, the first time I saw him, and it was like, this is, you feel, because, like, you know someone. It's my first time ever meeting someone that I've conversed with so much or so invested in our lives because of our podcast. So it wasn't like we'd never met, but it was just, we hit it off immediately. I actually had a good show, which I was kind of, you know, you want to have a good set. You want to do well. There was one particular joke that he was the only one that laughed at, which I thought was awesome. It was.
Do you want to tell it?
Well, it is a joke that I tell that it is it's hit or miss, and I think part of the problem is it probably relies on me waiting on them to get it, and that's usually not, you know.
Sit there in the silence until it comes, because if it never comes, then
exactly. Yeah. But there have been times where I've waited and then like they'll get it and then they'll roar. Basically, the joke is that it's dirty, so here comes, folks. Shocker. That some guys say, you know, some guys are like, I love to eat pussy, and I'm like, I love to eat cake. That's what I love to eat. There's some other jokes, and I go, because I'll eat cake if it doesn't look good. So that should get a laugh.
Yeah.
So nothing. I go, okay. And then I'm like, I'll eat a dry cake. That's what, he's the only one laughing, okay?
I'll eat a cake that smells like tuna fish. Oh, wait a minute. No, I won't.
There you go. That's the now there's more tax, but that's basically I don't do them all.
Maybe they think it's too dirty.
Well, maybe, but I feel like that audience, they were...
It's about a dry pussy.
The dirty.
So let's...
Well, there's other things that aren't as dirty. I jumped ahead on that because they weren't getting it. Because I'm like, yeah, I'll share cake with guys at the office. I'm not doing it with pussy.
I don't say that word. You know why?
Why?
It doesn't feel right coming out of my mouth. Like, I don't say it right.
Yeah.
I never say it. You've never heard me say it. I just said it now, probably the first time.
I don't say it that often either.
Never say it.
Yeah, but I do have a new joke about dirty talk that's crushing that I'm very proud of.
Do you want to tell it?
Well, it has the line, the guys with small dicks, it's going to use that word again. Guys with small dicks can't dirty talk. Like, your pussy is so understanding. So, but it's there's a whole other, I've added a lot more to it, and now it's... I'm
Man, you're really cleaning it up.
I'm really cleaning it up. I did realize... I'll fast forward to when, because Koechner, the following week, he brought his wife. And, like, she was commenting to how his act has gotten dirtier and sort of implying in front of me that it's my fault.
Oh, really?
And, yes. And then I did do an inventory of, like, there's, like, 8 jokes about jerking off.
It looked like a Bill Cosby things to do list.
Right. So, but anyway, so me and Mac, the show was good. And then we hung out. I mean, we hung out late, and he likes to buy, and I like to take
advantage of
that.
You like to not buy.
Exactly. I like to not buy. But I believe his quote was, I drank more last night than I had in the entire year. So that was hanging out.
Not you. You didn't drink more than
he did. Yeah, he did. But he brought us, he brought me some cigars.
I mean, why did he buy you so many cigars?
Because he's got a hookup. That's where he works.
What a cool thing to do. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I have all these cigars for you
guys. Well, these aren't Swisher Sweets. These are hand-rolled.
They have a company that they also
high-end.
Exactly. Yeah, this is high-end stuff. This is quality.
I guess I shouldn't shit on Swisher Sweets if he works for them, but that's basically a giant cigarette.
Well, I think it's like they have a larger company that does other things.
Well, I'm going to smoke the shit out of this thing right here.
I smoked one after Caps game six and game seven wins. I felt like a douchebag, but I got a cigar cutter. I gave David a nice box of cigars and a nice cigar cutter.
Liga Privada number 9. That's the cigar I'm going to smoke.
Yeah, that's strong. So, Mac, thank you. You bought me a lot of drinks, a lot of meals. Well, one meal, but a lot of drinks. We went to several bars. I think you got to experience the Rob Mayer drunken night out with the Minnesota girls singing karaoke and all the inside stories that happened from that. But it was super cool to finally hang out with you. And he's telling us about how winning the Listener of the Year award, like, changed the direction of his life. Like, he was in a rut, and then he found that out, and then all these new opportunities arose.
You're welcome.
Yes, we are lifesavers. So, Scott, I got to say now, until further notice, Mac is the better Berkson.
I agree. I'm going to smoke these cigars. I mean, I don't have a meal, but still.
But the Koechner week, one of my favorite things is hanging out with them, because the people that... Everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people, they recognize them, but they don't know from what exactly.
I'll bet you the amount of people that recognize him versus the amount of people that know his name, that's probably a delta that's as big as any celebrity that exists.
Yeah, you're probably right. Absolutely. So we go into this one spot, and I've never heard a black girl say the word literally as much.
By the way, every time she said literally, was it literal?
Well, that's true, because sometimes they don't. But she did say, well, I don't know, it's hard. She did say, I was literally watching The Office last night, which she very well could have been.
Unnecessary.
All right? But she also says he's literally my favorite comedian. He could have been, too. I don't know.
But she could say, I literally ate 1,000 pounds of fish.
Exactly. Yeah. So she goes, oh, my God, I literally that. So he comes over, they're talking, and she says to the girl that works at the Improv, or that girl says to her, who else were you excited about seeing at the club? And David's like, hey, keep talking about me, right? He's joking.
Right.
And then she goes, Steve Byrne. And he walks out. Now, he's joking, right?
Well, clearly.
Right. And she goes, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I go, Steve Byrne fucked his wife. She goes, really? I said, literally. I said, no. But she was a lot of fun to mess with.
That's awesome.
So, shout out to Tampa and to David Koechner. Then, I guess we should fast forward it to Canton.
Seriously?
I apologize. I thought I muted him.
Okay. All right. Are we trying to get Marcus on?
He's on.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Marcus.
Hey, Marcus.
How are you?
What's up, fellas?
What's going on,
good.
Man?
It better be worth it.
Yeah. We worked very hard to get you on.
So, some of these stories I can't tell. So then next week was a different week because I was in Kansas City with Koechner, and that's where he's from. And he's also,
was it sold? The show sold out?
Just about.
Right.
But the problem is that he's also there this weekend. There's this big charity called Big Slick. They do every year. It's all these celebrities that are from there. Paul Rudd.
Christian Okoye.
No. Paul Rudd.
Come on. He's a Kansas City Chief.
You're
sorry.
Right,
guys.
Fine.
George Brett.
Yes. I have a Christian Okoye story.
You do?
Yeah.
All right.
So years ago at Via Satellite, I'm sure I've told this, but it's been a long time. Me and where's Sade from? Same thing as wherever Christian Okoye is from.
Nigeria.
Yes. So I am talking to somebody about Sade for whatever reason. And I say, yeah, she's sexy. She's Nigerian. Dean Peterson, the guy that talks about the Trump and everything, he's the super Trump guy.
Right.
Yeah, he walks in and he goes, Christian Okoye? All I heard was sexy in Nigeria.
So. I have a Christian Okoye story too.
Go ahead.
So this girl that used to work for me had a boyfriend. He was Nigerian. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes she would stay at his house, and which was near the office, and sometimes she would stay at her own house, which was nowhere near the office, right? And so when she came into the office, I said, oh, did you stay with the Nigerian nightmare? And she got offended. I said, no, that's, never mind. It's a nickname of a football player, never mind.
So
did I mention the guy was Nigerian?
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead, all right.
So Jason Sudeikis, Paul Rudd, Rob Riggle, they have like a celebrity softball game, bowling thing. It's a whole big...
You know, a lot of funny people from there.
Yeah, no, and it's just, they have some former Royals, Brett Saberhagen and stuff. So they... But anyway, I got to meet a couple of his sisters and just the whole family. And like I said, his wife was there doing stand-up, opening, emceeing. So it was sort of weird watching their dynamic because I'm in the green room at one point and they're like getting into this little bit of an argument and I'm like, should I be here? Should I not? Should
oh,
I say
really?
Something? Yeah. But it was good people watching, but I felt like as they're, you know, cause in between shows, she was like sort of critiquing and I'm like, you don't want to hear this before the next show, which you starts in 20 minutes, right?
No.
That's not what you want in your head, right?
But it's better for it to be in your head than in his head.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't care. No, that's what I'm saying in his head. Yeah, he's not critiquing my act.
Yeah, you know what that means whenever that happens? It means they don't appreciate what you did.
Well,
you can't be in a fight and walk onto the stage.
No, or she doesn't understand. She doesn't, I guess. But there's more of this is bonus show stuff. But just to say it was interesting. She's a lot of fun. I like her. She's cool. And she told me about dating Charles Barkley, which is a really good story.
How long did they date?
Just a few months. She
That's all it took.
Well, I can tell the story. She used to live in when he played for Phoenix Suns. She lived in Arizona. And she saw him one night out at some restaurant. They started talking. She knew it was him, but he changed his name and acted like he wasn't. And all his women kept coming over and giving him their phone number and stuff. And then at the end of the night, he basically invites her up to his room. And she goes, no, I'm not going to do that. You got to take me out and all this stuff. So he invites her to a game. And
good move,
he leaves two tickets to the will call. She brings her brother. They're right on the floor. And then during the pregame warm-up, he sees her with a guy. He's like, who the fuck is that guy? You brought a guy? And she goes, it's my brother. Hard. And he goes, oh, okay. But they ended up dating. And she also dated the guy from the black guy in Braveheart. The guy in the Love Will Never Do Janet Jackson video.
In Braveheart?
Yeah, isn't there one main character who's...
Are you thinking of no? You're not thinking. No, it's not Braveheart. It's with Russell Crowe. It's Gladiator.
Oh, yeah, Gladiator. Yeah. Yes, Gladiator. Sorry, Jimon Hounsou. I can't say his name. That guy, right?
Yeah.
And then David Koechner. It's a good combination. It's pretty funny. But anyway, it was. Look, they love me in Kansas City. I sold 48 T-shirts, Joe Robinson. I would have sold more if I brought more and if I'd brought bigger sizes because they're large people in the Midwest.
Can I tell a quick story?
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley was married when he was with the Phoenix Suns.
Okay. Are you? They could have been separated.
I don't know. I'm just. I don't know. You should just the story you want to tell.
I don't know. Do I?
I don't know. Should we edit that?
Up to you guys.
Yeah, let's just save it and put it on the bonus show and talk about how we can you do that. Is that possible?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, but I know this is already going to be a clusterfuck.
Yeah. Sorry. Well,
I was just trying to make sure that you didn't get yourself in any trouble.
Well, it was 20 years ago, I think, at this point. But no, you're right. Maybe I probably let's just. It's good bonus show stuff, anyways. We always need stuff for that.
Well, we definitely need to address because you kind of took me to task for something that I said with Katie when Katie and I did the show regarding your significant other.
I did. You know what? Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll delve deep into that. Robin Jones, I'll be right back.
Hi, it's Justin Schlegel, radio personality, comedian, actor, Tai Bo master, and home health care worker. I want to tell you about yet another hilarious live interactive whodunit from Die Laughing Productions called Smooth Criminal. In this one, I play Billy, manager of the world's greatest Michael Jackson tribute band, the Smooth Criminals. I'm in pursuit of a new lead singer, but my mission is derailed by a murder. Now, I must solve the crime myself in order to salvage the band, and you can help. Please join me and our cast of regulars to experience the laughter and insanity. Smooth Criminal, a murder mystery musical tribute.
Next performance, June 16th at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
Yeah, I don't want to talk too much about this, but you did, I think, unfairly imply that someone in my life was not happy for you two. Which...
No, I thought that what I really thought was it had to do with you. I didn't think we weren't. I didn't think. Oh, my God, how rude. I didn't think she wasn't happy. I didn't think any of that stuff. I thought that maybe we shouldn't talk about it.
Well, no, you said, I believe you said that you hadn't heard from her, and I relayed a message from her to you.
Oh, did you? All right, then I apologize for that. Yes, sorry about that.
Yes, so that was the...
We did hear from her through you. That is true.
Well, it's not like you guys talk regularly, like converse. Through text or anything.
Well, I wouldn't have a party that I didn't invite her to.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, she's, if you check the top 100 people in my life, she's one of them.
Aw.
When I did my list, it wasn't 100 people, and right. She was on it.
Yeah. So that's impressive. So, oh, you know what? I'm forgetting a couple really good Keckner stories here. So I'm in the elevator. We're going up to get in the hotel in Kansas City. A guy and a girl gets on. They appear to be there for some work function. I don't think they're a couple. And he goes to press the number on the elevator, the floor number. And I guess he touches her breast by accident. And he goes, "Sorry for accidentally touching your breast." Which I thought was weird that he would say what he did.
Yeah.
So
if he's saying that, he wants to know what the response is.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I then say to David Keckner's wife, I said, "That was weird, right?" Because I explained it. She goes, "Yeah." Then I meet these three other women that are involved with the charity the following week that are there to take some pictures and do some promo and stuff. I tell them the story. And then this one woman was like, "Is this real?" Then I'm like, "Wait, now I'm the weirdo."
Yeah.
Because I keep telling the story.
That is weird. You know what? There was a story. I can't remember what it was, but something strange happened like that. And I accidentally told it to my future in-laws twice. And I'm thinking, these guys are probably like, doesn't this fucker have any more stories?
Yeah, so
why is he always talking about this? I don't even remember what it was. But
so Saturday night. Somebody in the green room, a worker comes in and says, "Hey, there's a guy from the Kansas City Chiefs that wants to meet you." Now, Keckner is a huge KC Chiefs fan. And he's like, "Sure." This guy comes in. We're like, "So you work for the Chiefs?" He goes, "No, I'm an agent. I represent, Tyreek Hill, a star wide receiver," starts listing all these other players, you know, starts talking, name dropping all these things, telling stories and this guy didn't get a bonus. It cost me X amount of money. And he pulls out his phone, showing pictures of all him with all these famous NFL players. Antonio Brown was drunk. I helped him with the car. Tony Gonzalez, soon to be Hall of Fame tight end.
That was the best man in his wedding.
Yes. Well, I mean, but he has pictures with these people. So there's right. some legitimacy. And I'm like, okay. So I say to him, well, where do you live? He goes, Topeka. I'm like, that's just weird for an NFL agent to live in Topeka. I don't know.
Yeah, that has Tony Gonzalez as a client.
So I say, so did you sign any of this year's these rookies? He goes, yeah, I didn't really care for this year's class. I'm like, what does it make? You sign them, you get paid. They all get make.
Yeah,
all get,
they're
all
slotted in the first round.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So Kagner's like, do you want some pictures? He goes, no, I'll wait till after. And I'm like, well, that's weird because you can do it right now.
I wouldn't take a picture with this guy. He's going to pretend he knows you.
Right. So afterwards, he has all these things he wants David to sign for some charity or something. Okay. So I start talking about the murder mystery like I always do. He's like, yeah, I'm in with USO. We can go. I can take you in with the players. And I'm like, okay.
The players.
So I exchange numbers. And then the next day, I Google this guy, Robbie, and I've already told Joe this. But what do you think his job is, this agent?
He's a sports agent.
No, he's an insurance agent.
Yeah.
Home Life Auto.
Well, what's funny is that he said that he lost out on some money because some guy got a bonus. Other than that, he would have been telling the truth.
Yes, exactly.
If he would have just...
He could be Tyreek Hill's life insurance agent. He could have his for New York Life or whatever the hell he works.
Now, if
insurance
I'm,
agent to the stars.
Exactly, right.
If I'm seeing this correctly, they didn't have a first-round pick. Is this right? I'm looking round two, round three. Maybe that's why.
Well, agents sign with multiple teams. They don't just do one team.
Not
but
this
you're talking
guy.
About insurance. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's like the guy from Groundhog Day.
Right. So, speaking of Kansas City Chiefs, I'm waiting in the airport to, you know, I'm used to like bigger airports. So, I think you got to get there early. But here in the Kansas City airport, you think Kansas City is a real city, right? It's not some small duck thing. But you literally can go to the gate,
literally.
Checked in, and then go through security, and you're at your gate in 5 minutes. No, literally. Okay. So there's no reason to get there more than 20 minutes.
So now you're there. You're walking around the Sharper Image.
No, there's no Sharper Image. There's nothing. Okay. So
there's not even a coffee shop?
No, I went to Starbucks. Right. There's a couple little restaurants. So I'm talking to Tawan on the phone, and I said, wait, did Andy Reid, the former Eagles coach and the current Kansas City Chiefs coach, just walk by me? Because he was by himself. He's wearing, you know, shorts and some Hawaiian t-shirt.
He wasn't wearing a Kansas City Chiefs
right, but
jersey.
He just looks like every old guy you've ever seen. He could have been Gramps. And I'm like, you know what? I think it is. So I hang up, and I start following him. And then I get close enough, and I say, hey, coach, and he turns, and it's him. So I'm like, hey, I'm a Redskins fan. Alex Smith used to be the Chiefs coach. He's now on the Redskins. I said,
quarterback, but go ahead.
I'm a Redskins fan. How do you think Alex Smith's going to do for us? He's going to do great. You're going to love him. He's a great guy. I said, cool. Nice little conversation. So now, an hour later, I'm finally, you know, going through security to go get on the plane or get right by the gate. And I look up, and Alex Smith, the aforementioned quarterback, is standing right there. And I'm like, Alex. And he goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, I just met Andy Reid. He says, you're a great guy. And I'm friends with David Koechner. We just did a show together. Oh, I like David. Now I feel like we have a connection because I've just dropped two big names.
You're like the agent.
Exactly. And now I have his car insurance. So I got a selfie with him. And then we were on the same flight back, obviously. We were both flying to Dallas, but he was in first class. I wasn't.
No, you weren't in first class.
No, I was not in first class. No, but
would be hilarious would be if he was back there and you were in first class.
But you don't realize how tall he is because you think just
You know, he was the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's huge.
Yeah, he's got tools. You have tools and talent if you're number one.
Exactly. Yes.
And sometimes you don't pan out because they're ahead, right. Like Jeff George, but...
So I took some notes on the episode with you and Katie.
Yeah.
First of all, I isn't Bury the Lead, because that was the title, isn't Lead spelled L-E-D-E in terms of journalism?
I didn't know
I'm
that.
I'm asking Robbie. Oh. I know that you don't know.
I've never heard of the word L-E-D-E. I think that the lead story is the L-E-A-D story.
Yeah, you're burying the lead. The lead... should be what should lead the article.
No, yes. I've always thought that, but then I've seen it spelled bury the lead. L-E-D-E.
Well, you know, if you're going to correct somebody, you better fucking know what you're talking about.
Bury the lead. It says, fail to emphasize the most important part of a story or account. I do believe that L-E-D-E is the correct pronunciation, the spelling of that, Robbie. So,
I think it appears that you would be right.
Yes!
Man, what a monumental fuck-up. By the way, if he would have put bury the L-E-D-E, everybody would be like, what?
But Robbie loves it when he's right and people try to correct him and he can throw it back in his face.
I completely made an assumption. I never heard of the word L-E-D-E.
Well, I only just realized this like a year ago because I've always spelled because I've used that phrase. I like it, and I've always spelled it the way you spelled it.
Do you want to take the episode down, Robbie?
Yeah, let's.
It's staying just like it is.
Now, Katie said something which I thought was ridiculous. She okay. about
wow, that's shocker.
Well, do black people wear underwear? You realize that all of us in our lives have seen the boxer shorts of more black men than we've seen of any other male, female in our lives.
Why is that?
The pants are sagging. I mean, every day I see.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, no, you're right. It could have easily been deduced, but maybe that was a cultural thing. Because, you know, like Scott Reardon doesn't wear underwear. Is that an Italian thing? It's not. It just happens to be him. Right. But sometimes within cultures, you see things. And yeah, but I get it. If you would have kind of just deduced that, you would have been able to figure out the date. Right. Do, in fact, wear underwear.
And then as far as your interview with Mara, I wanted to know what future movies that she was looking forward to seeing.
We usually ask her. Yes. Remember what she said the last time she was on?
No.
Molly's Game.
Oh, I still haven't seen it.
It's good. It's a good movie.
Yeah. I mean, I like poker. I like that Chastain. It's good.
I'll give her your number if you want to call her.
Nah, it's all right. Yeah. But that other than that, fantastic episode.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, Mac, by the way, I hope we need some new rankings now that we've hung out. I hope that...
Yeah, now I'm screwed.
Yeah. Well, if I go down, we'll know how he felt about meeting me. So that'll be... Yeah,
I'm going to start calling him Max. See how far down I can get.
Yeah, I think, Joe, you're pretty much fucked because I was getting some love from him on Facebook this week.
Yeah. Yeah, you're getting... You're probably going to be last. I mean, we're Steve-O.
No, I might be last on the show, but I'm not going to get below Steve-O.
You know, where Steve-O had just done something stupid, and I started to tell it to Mac, and I realized, wait a minute, he doesn't care about this.
I bet he did. I bet he would.
No, he's like, yeah, I mean, ever since Steve-O told my wife to shove something in her, you know, C-word, I stopped being a fan. And I'm like, okay, that's a
fair
point.
I didn't know that happened.
Yes.
He said it directly to her?
I believe in I'd forget the con. It was in a Facebook. He didn't walk up to her and say it now, if that's what you're asking. It was in a Facebook conversation.
Well, I will say that you had a conversation with Chris, and apparently we talk about five-plated clothing on here, which is his clothing line.
Yes.
But I guess if you go on to fiveplatedclothing.com, there's some homoerotic picture.
Yeah, I had nothing to do. We had nothing to do
with it. No, and he said, tell your listeners to take it down. Now, okay. There's no way that's one of our listeners. Yeah. However, I will make a plea.
Yes.
On behalf of Chris, if you're a listener of the Rob and Joe Show, and you're the one who bought that domain and put that picture up, can you give a domain back?
Sure you can. It's five spelled out, not the number. So fiveplatedclothing.com. Check it out.
Or you can check it out now
don't
check whatever
it out.
Picture's on well, there. Yeah.
Well, don't check it out at work. Check it out at home.
Yeah, check it out at home. Or
yes.
Don't even check it out on your phone.
But Chris also made a point to put on my timeline, hey, wanted to say congrats to you on Joe and Katie's engagement.
Did you say thank you?
I did say thank you.
You know, speaking of not wanting to have things on your phone, so I listened to the show Quality Time. It, other than our own podcast, it's my favorite podcast.
Oh, wow.
It is. It's the only one.
Suck on that, JL.
I make sure. JL infuriated me this last week. I mean, he's just.
I didn't even listen.
Well, whatever. I don't even get into all of it. I mean, his politics is just calling people stupid. You know, that's fine, but these labels that you give to these groups or whatever. I'm just going to say one thing he said.
Oh, no.
One thing. It made me so crazy. He said he went to a Yankee game, and he thinks it's dumb that they play the national anthem during a game. Okay, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but it's not like this isn't some personal attack on Colin Kaepernick. They've been doing it in every sport for 100 years. Right. Okay, an argument can be made, but this is not directed at anybody or anybody's political opinion. It's just something that they would do back in a time when culturally maybe that made a lot more sense. Doesn't matter. But he doesn't like it. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But then he was mad because when it was playing, there were all these Trump supporters that were going to the bathroom and talking. He's literally literally, making assumptions on 1,000 people that he's never spoken to and labeling them in this manner. And it's like, God, this is what the problem, this is what makes it so divisive. I mean, put something, I mean, you want to break it down to the individual, I'm fine. But just to all of a sudden take this group, shit on them in this huge generality, there's 100 things just like that. It just makes me so crazy. It makes me so nuts.
Not to belabor this, but I have noticed that, like, it's almost like social media. It recruits Trump supporters because it takes some opinion that isn't that crazy and then says, oh, if you think that, you're a Trump supporter. And then, like, it's an opinion that, like, 90% of the people think.
Well, this is what it is now. So, I hate Trump. I would never vote for Trump.
Oh.
Okay? But it used to be, oh, if you're burning a cross on somebody's lawn, you're a racist. Now it's, oh, you voted for Trump, you're a racist. Now, if you're a Republican, you're a racist.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not...
If you want him to do the right thing.
I used to want to actually discuss, have intelligent conversations, but as soon as you say that, go fuck yourself. I'm not, you know what I mean? By the way, I'm not saying JL has done this, but there is a lot of these just group, they just stick this giant label on this group.
Right.
How do you respond to that? You can't. I'm not coming to where you are to argue with you if that's what you're saying.
Can I bring this back around to plugging my favorite podcast other than the Robin Joe Show?
Yeah. Sure.
My favorite is Missed Connections.
Nice.
And please tune into the last show. Joe was prominently featured on the last episode, and it was fucking hysterical.
Thanks, man.
Good. So back to humor.
I'm glad you brought it back to what I was actually talking about. By the way, I do listen to JL's podcast. Just sometimes it makes me nuts. I do like the fact. I do like when he champions LeBron over Jordan.
Oh, he's got some great LeBron over Jordan stuff.
Well, me too. I love
His Black Panther trolling is great. JL, I want you to get back to having guests where you debate with somebody.
I just want you to talk about how Trump sucks.
How a movie is or some comedian. Get some. That's what we want. That's what Joe and I want. And that's all that matters.
No, I want to go back to calling 48% of the voting populace racists. Anyway, so at the end of Quality Time, now what they do on Quality Time is it's usually Eric, his brother Jeremy, Eric Woodworth, Jeremy Woodworth, and Kim Ambrose, although I believe she quit the show because she's pregnant, and then they have a guest. So Jeremy, he throws out these crazy non sequiturs, so much so that Robbie can't listen to the show.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, they did a show where it was just Eric and Jeremy, and Eric said, this is Robbie Robinson's least favorite episode. That was just those two. But he does do it. I find it endearing. Robbie wants to throw, you know, his radio or phone or whatever out of the car. But at the end of the episode, I believe it's a Lethal Weapon episode, they play a song. The song, I believe, is just called Man Boy Love Association. I believe that's the name. Which is a real group of men.
Literally.
Who are attracted to small boys. Yeah. That's
it's the North American Man Boy Love Association.
Yes, NAMBLA.
NAMBLA.
Right. So, what did I say? Man Boy Love Association. Mm-hmm. It's a song about that, and it's not. Now, granted, it's a parody. I guess you take something horrible, you make light of it. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's just like Hitler on Ice with Mel Brooks. I mean, I understand what they're doing, but we get no context. It just happens. They do the episode, they play it, and I'm listening to it, and it's about, you know, hey, I like these kids. You know, we want to try to get closer to them. We're men, they're boys.
Yeah,
that's it. So I call Eric, I go, dude, what the fuck is that? I go, I'm in my car listening. I'm thinking if somebody hears that and me consuming it, blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, that song was written and performed by Jeremy Woodworth in the band that he had when he was younger. They had an album, and that was one of the songs on there, and now they're just playing those songs at the end of Quality Time. This one happens to be about pedophiles.
And people don't like our ending song.
Get that song from Jerry and make it our new opening song.
No, we can't do that.
I can't even play it on here. I don't want to.
Are we getting a new opening song, Robbie?
We have a brand new opening, fully produced, and a song written, and it just needs to be performed and produced.
So, okay. Can I say something about this? First of all, I know Robbie. He's going to do a very good job. He picked a song that...
Wait, do you know what song he picked?
I do, but I'm not going to tell it.
Well, I wanted to guess.
You probably don't know it. The guess is whether or not you know it
or not. I think it was going to be that Animal song, his karaoke song.
No, the Bad Touch?
Yeah.
Hold on, stop. Do you know this song?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, I recognize it.
Play it some more.
The Cars?
No, play it some more. No, that would actually, that's a song. Yeah. Drive. It sounds a little bit like Drive, which was a major hit. Continue, yes. Robbie.
I know this song. Yeah, I like this song.
Okay.
That's what I thought it was.
And that's fine. Yeah. That's fine that you know it. Who sings it, Robbie?
T'Pau.
Okay, you familiar with the words of T'Pau?
I know this. This is a one-hit wonder.
So what we do is we have, well, first we have Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, which was the number one song.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it.
Right.
Then we did.
And by an artist, too. I mean, Wham, but George Michael's household name.
Right. Our next song is a Led Zeppelin song.
Yes.
Right? I believe it's pronounced Jamaica.
Yes.
Iconic. And now we have T'Pau. But if it's funny and everybody gets it, then I'm fine.
I agree parodies work better if you are familiar with the original song. But I picked this song because it has such a cool vibe and the girl's rapping over herself singing and it sounds really cool and I can't wait to put it
together.
Well, I'm not going to, I promise you, I will not be critical of the song choice.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you rapping?
No, I want to get a female singer that we know to do it. I originally wanted to get Katie to do it, but she refused.
Okay. Well, she doesn't know the song, and that can be a little difficult.
Well, I'm going to record a demo for it. So
you want Elle in our murder mystery to do it?
I would like that, yeah.
Have you asked her?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, do you need me to do something? Or
if you would mention it to her, but I will email her the demo to see if it's something that she thinks that she can do for me.
All right. I want to look at these lyrics so I can try to guess. Heart and soul, I fell in love with you, heart and soul, the way a fool would do. Madly, because you held me tight, yada, yada, yada.
Nope, that's a different song. That's a different heart and soul song.
I believe he's doing ding, 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 ding. Is that what he's...
Yeah.
No, that was...
Yeah, heart and soul, I fell in love with you, heart and soul. Yeah, that's...
Yes.
More than an ocean keeps us apart.
Yes.
I feel a tearing in half of my heart. A walk on the water is all that I need, but miracles are not happening. You're not even listening to me. This sounds hilarious.
Are you going to change the words, Robbie?
Give a little bit of heart of soul. Give a little bit of love to grow, Rob and Joe. Okay. So give a little bit of heart. Give a little bit of heart and soul. Listen every week to Rob and Joe.
It's get.
Don't tell. Little bit of, don't tell. We're just going to be surprised. Okay. If you want to. I mean, I'd rather just hear it.
Sure, I agree. It'll be better if you just hear it sung.
I tell you what, Wana listeners, you know, it's, again, the band is spelled T'Pau.
Are you sure Heart that's the best T'Pau song to use, Robbie?
I like their early stuff. Do you know what, is T'Pau a group or one person?
It's like when people thought Hootie and the Blowfish, they thought Darius Rucker was Hootie.
Right.
I thought that maybe she went by that, but I think it's a group. I think it probably is.
Can we get T'Pau on the show?
Probably. Just go to that county fair and grab them.
Do you want me to get my... to her, I think. Do you want me to get my...
That's what I meant them, but whatever.
Sorry. Like I said, him. Do you want me to get the insurance agent on the show?
Just to shit on him.
We can do an ad for him.
I bet we can get Jeremy Woodworth.
T'Pau is a British pop band led by Carol Decker. That's right.
Carol Decker. How much would we have to pay you, Robbie, to just listen to a quality time episode of Jeremy talking about Back to the Future, your favorite movie, 24 hours straight?
24 hours?
24 hours?
Yes, how much?
Like $1,000?
Wow, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah, we can't. All right.
24 hours?
That's
crazy. You stay up?
24 hours?
You're listening to it while you're eating, going to the bathroom? It seems like it'd be more than 1,000.
No, I don't know
if you could do it physically.
Yeah, that's being solved. What if you fell asleep? You had to start over.
All right, how much? It's a one-hour.
I would do an hour for nothing.
No, it's a one-hour episode. You have to listen to it every day for a year. It could be in the car.
Is the topic Back to the Future?
Yes. And he hates the movie.
Hey.
No, it's Big Lebowski, and he loves it.
Oh, no.
You know what's funny is that you...
half a mil.
I would say that's too much, but for an hour, you do it for less than that. But... You would start getting fucking infuriated when it came time. It's like every morning, every weekday morning, I work out.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it since January. I've missed like maybe 4 or 5 days in the last 4 months, 5 months. Hey, still, every time I go to do it, I hate it.
Yep.
Every time. Mm-hmm. Every time I get up, what I do is I get up in the morning, drive to work, do a little bit of work, go work out, go shower, go to my desk. That's what I do every single morning. And I always put off working out. So sometimes I'm showering at like 10, sitting in my office sweaty because I didn't want to have to go do it. And Robbie thinks for every day for a year that he, by the way, I really mean this. If you had to listen to an episode of Quality Time where Jeremy Woodworth was talking about Back to the Future and he didn't like it and you had to do it for whatever amount of money it is, I'll bet it would eventually get to you psychologically.
Yeah.
It would. That's why I'm saying it would be $500,000 for that.
You couldn't see Eric Woodworth anymore. You couldn't be part of the murder mystery. It would remind you of Jeremy.
Yeah. If Jeremy was in it, no, you wouldn't.
I don't think so. But I would probably be yelling at him each time I saw him. Telling him what his brother's making me crazy.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. Jeremy Woodworth joins the show. Robin Joe should be right back.
The Rob and Joe Show has become a fixture in my weekly flow. I don't miss work or church or chores, nor would I forget Rob and Joe. They aren't just funny, but can be most interesting. Not only that, I make new friends and share our thoughts by being there with them in chat. Their great success is created by all the talent that they share, but much of it is just because they, with great luck, have Robbie there. For those who miss the bonus shows, I promise it would be worthwhile to pay $5 just to add to your life many laughs and smiles. Just go to Patreon and join. Become a patron today. I promise you will never feel as though you've thrown $5 away.
The Rob and Joe Show.
All right, so I guess we need to wrap this up. I feel like we've gone
yeah,
on
but I know where you're going. But before you do that,
before we do that,
Marcus, is Marcus still on?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Hey, the Tony Perkins Show. I'm interested in your thoughts. We just found out that I thought it was one of the best shows on the Moore Network.
I was on there a couple times. I really enjoyed it. I love their chemistry. I thought it was funny. They got great guests. It was a very good show.
And they decided to call it quits.
Yeah, I'm really upset about it. I mean, it was one of my favorite shows on the network besides yours. And I think there's two questions that have to be asked. What's going on that a show like that, as good as it is, with the guests that they have on? This is a show that had Ringo Starr on twice.
Who's that?
And they had big name gets, and they're not pulling numbers, or they're not getting the advertisers, or they're not getting the support from behind the scenes. I think there's got to be some questions going on around Moore as to why the fuck we just lost one of the best shows in the network.
I don't think that
why we allowed that to happen. At the same time, the fans have to ask, what the hell didn't you do in order to allow that one to slip out of our fingers? You didn't buy enough T-shirts. What could we have done to retain the show? It's like Star Trek going off the air. Let's get the letter writing campaign going now.
I have a more important question.
Go ahead.
Is their channel available on Moore? Because we can just stick the Rob and Joe Show up there and get some of their listeners.
Yeah, I don't think.
Sure, we can do that.
I don't think it had to do with the lack of success of the show. I think he just had himself spread too thin. He was doing, he's doing a regular radio show with Donnie Simpson. And then he's doing.
According to what they said on the show, it had to do with money. They weren't making the money or covering their nut on the show.
Well, I guess that's true.
If you listen to the show week after week, there was no advertisers. They were just selling T-shirts. They had a couple of live shows, but that was it. There's no advertising, so there's no revenue. And at the end of the day, after 3 to 4 years, they're just like, the audience isn't growing steadily enough, and we don't have advertisers coming knocking on our door. I think there's a failing happening within Moore, to be completely blunt.
Wow.
Jeez. Well, I think they needed a bonus show or a Patreon or something.
Yeah, somebody would have to pay for.
And they have an affluent listening base. I mean, they're going to be able to afford, not going to scoff at a few bucks. See, a live show at the Improv Lounge there's no money to be made. It seats 55 people. There's no way that ever.
Let me see, $20 a ticket, $1,100 split 10 ways. Wow, it's not bad.
Yeah, so it's that's never going to amount to anything. But it is a shame because they have – I mean, they're both excellent at what they do and they have the chemistry. And, you know, like you said, they had the poll to get legitimate guests. We're trying to get an insurance agent from Topeka.
Robbie, can you call Ringo Starr now since there should be a hole in his schedule?
Oh, sure. I'll reach out.
Why don't we get Tony Perkins on the show?
Yeah, that'd be the biggest guest we've ever had.
I think the real question, though, is not what Robbie asked, is now on Americast, will Rob and Joe get more clips played?
Well, there's definitely more openings for that. So, yes, that will definitely happen.
It won't.
This week,
I don't think it
will. I will. Shut up.
Will political persuasions get more clips?
Yes, that's what will happen.
J.L. Covan's righteous prick will now get clicks. Now I'll get listens. Just upset
Joe. The hard bit about political persuasions is the fact that it's so very different. The content is very different from everything else on the network. So it's very hard to make it feel part of the clip structure of Americast. So it's kind of hard to just throw it in. So it kind of derails
things. It's probably a discussion that requires some length, is my guess. And your kind of show isn't really lends itself to that.
I think the bigger question here that after I heard that show, and again, as a huge fan, big disappointment is, and I know you guys have done this show for a very long time. You did it for a very long time before adding the bonus show, before doing Patreon. Mm-hmm. But right now, there's no advertising on my show. Whatever. Doesn't matter. My show is rinky-dinky comparison to everybody else's. There's no advertising on Political Persuasions. There's no advertising on Cake and Cookies, but that only happens every once in a great while anyway. And Tech 401 only happens once a month. But as far as this network is concerned and working collectively together, why can't we help each other more to support the show, these shows and this content? And let's just call it and say, why isn't the network doing more to support the Robin Joe Show, Tony Perkins Show, and Political Persuasions to make sure that everybody is getting something so that, therefore, you don't have those days where you go, you know what, I don't feel like doing the show because I don't get paid, so fuck it. It really doesn't matter.
So I hear what you're saying. I don't feel that way. I really do. I'm not – by the way, there's no reason for me to suck up to anybody. If they're not doing anything, there's no reason to suck up. But I don't feel owed. I don't. We lend our content. We probably get listeners because of the exposure we get.
Probably, definitely.
Yeah, but the exposure we get on the More Network and the exposure we get when we're on that show. I mean, I don't know. I don't feel owed. I'm not saying that you don't have the right to feel that way, but I don't. I don't feel entitled. I feel like we've been given an opportunity to build an audience, and we have, and now it's our responsibility to take that audience and generate revenue from it. It'd be nice, but I just don't. I'm not mad. I appreciate it. It sounds like you're trying to stand up for us, Marcus, but I just.
No.
That's not something I really wake up or go to sleep thinking about.
And I see what you're saying, Marcus, and you are right. But also, I think, in Joe and I's perspective, is if we ask for nothing, nothing's asked of us. We don't want to feel like we have a boss. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We just want to do whatever we want.
No, and I'm not suggesting that's the way it should be. It should not be a hierarchy of, you know, we're the bosses and we're going to tell you what to do and how to do it. You guys should be able to run the show that you want to run. But the thing about it is that collectively there is some work that could be done to support the shows. If you want to look at it as the Mike O'Mara show could do stuff to help support the other shows on the network. I don't know what discussions happen behind the scenes with your show or with the Tony Perkins Show or Political Persuasions or any of the others. At any point, is there a discussion from TMOS and the guys who run More Broadcasting to say, hey, we know you guys have been doing this a long time. You guys are doing some great content. What support can we give you to bring you an advertiser or you know, how can we help you outside of, yes, we're going to let you be on our website?
Yeah, well, that'd be nice. But I hear what you're saying. When you said, what else can we do other than put us on the website? Well, they have us on their show. They play ads on their show for us.
Yeah, we go to live events.
Yeah, I mean, you're sticking up for me, so I don't really want to kind of shit on what you're saying, but I really just don't agree with that.
But I also think we could use their studio. I'm imagining.
Yeah, they would allow that.
For pretty much nothing.
But we can't because of logistics.
But I mean, that's not, but they would allow us.
They would, yeah, they would even give us more if we probably asked for it. But yeah, I mean, and I hear you, Marcus, and I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, maybe I'm a guy who doesn't have his hand out enough, but I don't feel that way.
All right, we're getting too serious because I have some. This show is going to end on a serious note, yeah, but I have something funny before because it's too much to. So don't, if any of you, just don't talk during this explanation because you might accidentally reveal the kicker to this joke without realizing it. But
don't talk. I got it. Well, no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah,
you might. The others wouldn't, but you might know that. But Solo, you know the movie, Solo, A Star Wars Story. That's the name of the movie, right? So there's a baseball player for the Nats. He's 19. His last name is Soto. And he's been just dominating. And so I was thinking about a tweet, and I was going to tweet, you know, Soto, a phenom story. And then I was thinking, is there another parallel with Han Solo with Soto? And I think, what if I call him Juan Soto? And then I'm like, wait a minute, is that racist? And then I realized, his name is Juan Soto. So I almost thought people think I'm racist for calling him his name.
Did you do it?
Nah, I didn't do it. So
now, Marcus, did you see Solo?
I did. I've seen it twice now.
Oh, well, then that already answers my question. I didn't love it, but I want to hear what you have to say.
No. It does not answer your question.
Oh, all right. Let's hear. Did you like it?
No.
Tell me your problem. Tell me your problems with it.
So my major malfunction with this movie is the fact that I think it was poorly written. So even if these actors were any good, I don't think that they had a good script to work with. The story in itself did not give fans, I think, what they wanted to see from a Han Solo story. And so it was extremely disappointing. They've got a frickin' droid that doesn't need to be there. It's absolutely useless. Plays no part in the story.
The storyline involving it is so fucking ridiculous, too, that it's distracting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, why'd you see it twice?
It's totally stupid. The only reason I went to see it for a second time, I was just in New York City, and I was at the theater, and they had a 4DX experience, which I had never heard of. And
4DX.
The only movie playing during this 4DX experience was Solo. This is where you sit in the chair, and the chair vibrates. It moves with the movie. So when Solo gets hit in the back, you get jabbed in the back. When the person falls into the water, mist sprays in your face. Wind starts to blow.
Wait a minute. Mist sprays in your face?
No, thanks.
Yes.
It does sound pretty cool.
He leaves, his hair's all disheveled. He came.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Spooge on your face in case he's working one out in the Millennium Falcon.
Jeez. That's not what I was getting at.
It's supposed to give you that full experience, and I wanted to
experience
what that was because I'd never seen it.
Yes, so you wanted 1D.
Ron Howard might be the most overrated director in Hollywood. He's serviceable, but he's not a great director. And the last time, I mean, not that this is George Lucas's franchise anymore, but he directed a movie that was a Lucas production called Willow. And it's one of the worst pieces of shit ever put on film, in my opinion.
I used to love Willow. Val Kilmer.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, he made Gung Ho and Cocoon and like some decent movies, but he's never made anything great, in my opinion. Some people might say that Apollo 13 was great, but it was just
It was.
Well, he did do A Beautiful Mind.
And that's okay, too. I think that that movie's okay, fine, too. And I like the Beatles documentary. I don't say he's bad. I just don't think he's that great.
Yeah, no.
The only defense for Ron Howard is he started with it halfway through. Outside of that, I don't think that the work that he completed lives up to any of the new Star Wars films. They're not even close. Is it as bad as 1, 2, and 3? No. But this is the weakest of the new movie series. Rogue One is still the best one.
I think I also like Rogue One the best. I'll just go real quick on Solo. And that's that. It was very cheap. That was the thing. I mean, there's one line in Star Wars when Luke sees the Millennium Falcon, however it's said. He goes, what a hunk of junk, or what a piece of junk. And he goes, hey, bud, this craft made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't mean it's a throwaway line. Yeah. And the whole movie's based on this.
Okay.
This line that was said. And then they literally tried to.
They didn't even do that well.
Yeah, they didn't. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, he did it, but it wasn't really him. It doesn't matter. The other thing is that they keep shoehorning these Like, how do you meet Chewbacca? Why does he call him Chewie? You know, they shoehorn all these things, and you're like, it's just, okay, none of this stuff was necessary. You didn't need to do it. Some of it, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but yeah. The Lando Calrissian character, it didn't work for me. All right, I'm going to do this. They play a card game. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Spoiler alert.
Sure. Spoiler alert, whatever. Lando Calrissian is cheating.
Okay.
He's winning what it appears to be thousands and thousands of dollars off of Han Solo. The person who also needs Lando Calrissian's help sees it happening and she just grins. Where am I? What the fuck is happening here? Doesn't matter. I won't see it twice. I don't care if it's 7D. I'm not going.
I will. Now, is there a movie that you're... What's the best movie to see in this when you're getting sprayed in the face? What?
I think that's
Do you
want to
see
easy.
The Jurassic World where this dinosaur throws shit at you or something? Is it?
I don't want to be face blasted in any movie.
Wow.
I doubt I'll.
You can turn off the water feature if you want to.
That's cool.
Now I have too many options. I just want to sit down and watch a movie. I want to recline.
Yeah, I saw Deadpool 2. I loved it. Although Mara didn't like it, and that kind of broke my heart. American Animals, I'm going to go see. That's coming out, I think, this week. And then Hereditary is the next movie I'm excited about.
Oh, shit, I got to see a movie soon.
I think, what do you have, 1 month?
I don't know. I got to look at it.
Yeah, I think you have about 30 days, but you might not even have that because I probably bought it at Christmas time. Yeah, you probably have 3 weeks to see a movie.
A lot of pressure. All right, well, you ready to wrap this up on this unfortunate, sad note? So this is serious. We're going to get serious here for a second. We had a death in our Die Laughing Productions family. A good friend of ours, great comedian, Dylan Meyer, died suddenly and tragically. I'm not going to get into the details, but he was, I don't know, 29, 30, somewhere.
Yeah, I was wondering how old he was because I'm like, if he's 30, he just got there. Yeah, he's a young guy.
He, I first met him, he would come to my open mic at the Potomac Grill, and it was where I really first got to know Dan K. Charnley as well, and a lot of comics went through there. It wasn't a good room by any means. It wasn't set up well. The crowd was empty to shitty for the most part. But Dylan was there every week. Dylan was always funny.
Was 31.
Okay. He got funnier every week. His mom would show up, and his mom is just laughs at the right things, can be the butt of the joke, can fire back if you're involving her, just a perfect
Yeah, Dylan brought
member.
His mom to the murder mystery multiple times, and it's weird when we started thinking about doing this murder mystery, it was me and you and Justin were the first, and then I think it was Tommy and Eric, and then I think Dylan was the very next call. And Dylan was in the very first murder mystery.
Yep.
It's funny, Eric, who's, the second male lead in all our murder mysteries, he wasn't in the first one. Dylan was. Dylan played the waiter, and he was fucking hilarious.
Fantastic.
I remember Justin making fun of him for looking like the lead singer of the Spin Doctors.
Yeah.
And I remember the waiter came out, and he was yelling at Dylan, and he was talking to this guy, Dustin, we know he's a friend of ours. He's a giant guy, and he said his blood type was ranch. But, yeah, no, that was some rough news. I don't even know what to say about it. He was a particularly caring guy. You might like this, Marcus. He was a huge Bernie supporter. Okay, and we might not have seen eye to eye politically, but his heart was in the right place.
Oh, I mean,
he was. He cared about people and he cared about this world. And it breaks my heart. I've never had anything but great experiences with him. You said something to me. You've only said this to me maybe two or three times. You saw Dylan do comedy. This was not even 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and you go, man, he's gotten really funny.
Yeah, he's gotten really funny, and it was from just getting up every night. And I've seen him, tell dirty jokes and clean jokes and silly jokes and smart jokes and do crowd work. There was a show recently where he had to just come up with a joke when they just give you a topic, and it was about blind dates, and then that morphed into blind people dating. And then he just came up with the term, do they call it Spotify and chill? Which is just a really funny line in a written joke, not in just something off the cuff. And we did a show recently where I remember being happy that I did as well as Dylan did, because he's been crushing. And he was in the Newly Dead game in a role that has literally six words in it. It's called Sign Boy, where he's basically at this TV show.
Yeah, holding up signs.
He's holding up signs. And we've had four or five people play that role. And every time it wasn't him, look, the role's written by Joe and I. It's one-dimensional. There's not a lot to it, okay? And it's just a nothing role. But when Dylan plays it, the crowd's getting pictures taken with him. They think he did it, which means they're invested in him.
Yes, he's on.
It's a completely different show when he is that character.
Yeah, and also the people that we had do it, you know, we had Ramin, who's a very funny guy.
Sean Gabbert.
We've had Kim Ambrose do it as Sign Girl. Talk actually did it in the first show. And all those people are very funny.
Yeah.
None of them could pull it off the way that he could. You're right. It was just what we wrote, unless it was Dylan, and then it was something.
And then he turned into something. And that's why, you know, it's almost hard to even want to have that character, because I know what it was or what it is with him, and it'll never be the same. And then, you know, I was having lunch with David and his wife, and Donnie Singstack, mentioned him, the stuttering comedian. He just Facebook messaged me and said, "Have you heard?" And I said, "No. And then he told me. And then, you know, so I tried to write something somewhat profound or that, you know, talked about Dylan and how we all felt about him. And I posted it on Facebook. It took me hours. And then I just got off stage in between shows, and I'm sitting in the green room at the Kansas City Improv, and Dylan's mom responds to my comment and said, "Thank you," and that he always looked up to you. And it hit me with a ton of bricks. I literally just started bawling right there. I was like, geez, I got to do another show. And it was just to hear his mom say that and to think that he looked up to me and, you know.
Yeah, he also was getting married.
Yeah, I have his wedding invitation, you know, sitting on my desk. So
yeah.
It's sad for every reason that something's sad. So, Dylan, we miss you. We love you. It was great to have you around. You are a hilarious comedian. We'll never forget you. Thank you.
I asked that question the other night. If you could go back in time and kill anybody, who would it be? And this woman yells out, "Trump!" I was like, "Whoa, man. This is D.C. You do not need a time machine for that. You just need an Uber. Let's split it." Thanks, guys. That was Dylan.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.